All right, this class is on generational bondages. This is the seventh class. Go ahead and read the introduction. Generational bondage is the result of sin that moves through the family line. It may be called by various names such as transference, inheritance, or familial sin. In some cases, demons seem to become identified with the family line. Sometimes it is very obvious that sins have been passed from one generation to another. For example, sorcery, witchcraft, sexual perversions, rebellion against all forms of law and authority, diseases, disorders, continual accidents, and injuries. These are instances in which generational sin, a type of curse, afflicts only one person or multiple members of a family, but not the entire family. In other cases, an entire generation remains unscathed by the devastating power of a generational curse. However, unless the curse is rendered powerless, it will emerge again at some appointed time in some diabolical form. Although direct and clearly defined, biblical teachings of demonic transference are not found in Scripture. There are divine warnings that the sins of parents can have devastating consequences on their children. The context in which these warnings are given is very clear. In these instances, heads of families, usually males, have rebelled against God. God says they hate him, Exodus 25. What is implied is a deliberate turning away from God. Usually, if not always, such action involves serving other gods and denying God the love and obedience that he alone demands and deserves. In these cases, the authority figures deliberately turn from God to serve other gods, Satan or demons, and commit gross, terrible sins. They often commit their families and future generations to other gods, demons, Satan, and evil. Jewish heads of household knew that whatever they did it would affect their families for generations. God told them so. In times of crisis, they stood before God and confessed their sins of their families and even the sins of their nation. Nehemiah chapter 1, Jeremiah 14, and Daniel chapter 9. They realized that the principal family sin or judgment for a particular sin flows through the family line, affecting later generations that had nothing to do with the sin in question. The same principle still applies today, however. We shall see that generational bondages are easily broken once recognized, repented of, renounced, and cast off in the mighty name of Jesus. The following is a list of symptoms that may indicate the presence of generational bondages or curses. So, do you understand what we're reading so far? About
generational curses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they even use that in the medical field. That's actually a medical term. A generational curse. It's something. It's hereditary. It passes from one,
kind of like a family disease or whatever, something that runs in the family.
Even alcoholism, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Pornography runs, you know, sexual addictions, perversions, you know, stuff like that will run through a family line unless it's renounced, recognized, and renounced in the name of Christ. You know, it will continue to flow through from generation to generation. And that's, you know, as a Christian, you know, that's what the blood of Christ is for. You know, it washes, it makes us white as snow, but it's also a substitute. Like, when God, he no longer sees necessarily our blood filled with the sins of our ancestors and stuff got passed down to us or the curses or whatever, but he sees the blood of his son. So, an inability to prosper. The person studies and works very diligently. He acquires skills. Success somehow always seems to elude him. There seems to be a never-ending struggle against something he cannot identify. Failure seems almost inevitable. Somehow he cannot pinpoint the problem or get a grip on it. One overhears him saying such things as, "Nothing ever works for me. My father had the same problems I do. He was a failure too." You know, have you ever experienced something like that before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard or seen anybody experience something like that? I have. I've experienced that personally. My dad struggled a lot. You know, time, and it seemed like he'd always, they lay him off, he'd get a job, they get laid off, and he tried, you know, he did his best to provide. But he struggled with that a lot. And I've never heard him say that stuff, like, "Nothing ever works for me. My father had the same problems." I never heard him say stuff like that. I can imagine him feeling that, you know, thinking that. But I want to tell you, those quotes are the opposite of faith. Those are unfaith-filled quotes. You know, faith is really right then and there, you see yourself ever saying something like that? Nothing ever works for me. My father had the same problems I do. He was a failure too. If you ever say something along them lines over yourself, I mean, you can't proclaim that over yourself. Mm-hmm. But faith dispels that immediately. Mm-hmm. It gets you right back on your feet and you keep moving forward.
Yeah, like when you catch yourself saying it and they're like, no, I'm going to say that over.
Because by faith, you can say that God will finish the good work He started in me. Mm-hmm. He will finish. And you can also say by faith that He has plans to prosper me. That's His word. So they all coincide and are in agreement with each other. They don't, you know, He doesn't mean one and doesn't mean the other. By faith, you can denounce that in that moment. An inability to be yourself. Sage, which means dark, oppressive arm, inhibits the full expression of the individual's personality. He never feels completely free to be himself, and there's always some debilitating influence present. He wants to be himself, but somehow the freedom he so desires eludes him. Okay? He senses that he has potential within him that is never fully developed. I don't know if I've ever experienced that. I do know there's a lot more within me that I allow to come forth as far as potential wise. Sometimes, you know, I'm the one who holds it back, you know, through my own, I guess you'd say, rebellious mindsets, you know, my ways of thinking that are contrary to the Word of God, that aren't aligned with His Word. That's the only way you'll mess up your own potential, is by not allowing the freeing power of God's Word to fully manifest within your life. Okay, and an inability to succeed. The path of this individual seems clear as he moves towards his desired goals, but then somehow he is prevented from finishing the course. Just before he reaches his goal, something causes him to stumble and fall. There is no logical or natural reason for failure. It seems that there is some force or influence at work that is not subject to the usual laws of nature or the laws of averages. And we already know what that is. Satan. He's trying to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Frustration is commonplace. He finds himself wondering why he can never succeed. This may be true in one or multiple areas of his life. You know, or the fact that, you know, when I got saved, it didn't just all fall on my lap when I was 25. You know, where I'm at today didn't just instantly appear. You know, I went through a lot of trials, a lot of tests, a lot of growing places where it was just very pressurized environment, and what the devil meant to destroy me, God turned around. He already knew before all of it that he was going to use it for my good. So frustration is commonplace. He finds himself wondering why he can never succeed. This may be true in one or multiple areas of his life: business, career, health, finances. 5, interpersonal relationships. Almost always there is a negative effect on marriages and family life. Sometimes communities, cities, or even nations are affected. He may experience certain degrees of success, but there is no fulfillment. Dissatisfaction comes for no known reason. All achievements seem to be insubstantial. Depression settles like a cloud. He looks at others and asks himself why he is not fulfilled. Okay? You want to read this next part?
Mm-hmm.
4. Just read the entire 4.
7 Indications of a Possible Curse. Deuteronomy 28:15. And several of the following symptoms are present, or one or more are repetitive, the probability of a curse increases. However, only the Holy Spirit can provide a total accurate account. Because this is true, we need to be extremely sensitive in dealing with those experiencing any of the following conditions. A. Mental or emotional breakdown. B. Repeat or chronic sickness, especially if hereditary. C. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or related female problems. D. Breakdown of marriages and family alienation. E. Continuing financial insufficiency. F. Being accident prone. G. History of suicide or unnatural or untimely deaths. A curse cannot come upon the child of God unless he chooses to sin and to continue living an ungodly life. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Proverbs 26:2.
Okay. So right there, that quote, a curse cannot come upon the child of God unless he chooses to sin and continue living an ungodly life. You know, as we're going through this list of different curses upon maybe upon somebody's life or whatever, you know, I just see, you know, sin, prevalent sin in somebody's life, you know, rebellion. I just see somebody who's just, you know, making their own path, you know, doing things their own way, not acknowledging God in any way. Pretty much, you know, he's his own God, you know, which we're not designed to do that. If you can see, you know, people who choose to operate in such a way, they really bring all kinds of curse upon themselves. They don't realize it. Self-imposed curses, witchcraft, Deuteronomy 7, exercise the control of someone's will. B, provocation, intimidation, manipulation, and domination. That is witchcraft. See, in Matthew 27, 20 through 26, the Jews spoke a curse upon themselves. His blood be upon us and our children. Since that time, they have experienced 19 centuries of continual persecution and subjection. 6. How to break generational bondages and curses. Confess your faith in Christ and in his sacrificial death on your behalf. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. Confess with your mouth that you believe this fact. So what does it mean when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave? What does that mean when you believe that and confess it?
Fully surrender. That's what I was thinking. Fully surrender to him.
Okay. I mean, God desires full surrender. But what does it mean when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave and you confess with your mouth that you believe this fact? That's Romans 10:9 and 10:10. Paul was saying right there, when if you believe in your heart that Christ rose from the grave and you confess with your mouth and you believe this, you're saved. But well, what does that mean?
I mean, you're saved. That means you're a child of God.
Okay. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave, which means, I mean, when he rose from the grave, what happened?
He conquered death and he he defeated Satan.
Yeah, he defeated the curse of sin. Mm-hmm. Which the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that people die physically and spiritually is because of sin, hereditary sin or unrepented sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christ rose from the grave is the result of death, physical death, which it was also a very spiritual thing, spiritual death, spiritual life. But when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave, you're saying, I believe because of Christ. And what he defeated the power of sin on this earth, that thus he also defeated the power of death in my own life. So when you confess that and you believe it, then because of that belief and you abiding in that and you living that out, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the fruit of your salvation too. So repent of all rebellion and sin, claim forgiveness for all sins. Forgive anyone who has ever harmed you or wronged you. And I wanted to emphasize on that, what we just talked about, because a lot of people, they'll read that scripture and at point blank, just they'll say it. They'll say the scripture. I believe Christ rose from the grave, so I'm saved. And they don't even know what they're saying. They don't even know what that scripture really is implying. So thus,
yeah, they're just reading it and then like, yeah, I'm saved now.
Well, see, it says if you believe in your heart that Christ rose from the grave and you confess that with your mouth, then you're saved. So what they'll do is they'll confess it with their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you rose from the grave, Christ. And then they think they're saved.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what they're really, what was really transpired, what's going on.
They don't understand the whole concept.
Exactly. Yeah. So renounce all contact with anything occult or satanic. Pray the prayer for release from any curse from all sins and practices of your forefathers, even to the fourth generation. Okay. Believe you have received it and go in God's blessings. This profile is designed to help you evaluate your spiritual background and upbringing. It is also meant to help you see how wrong patterns of thinking or behaving may have developed and become a part of your life. This assessment is between you and the Lord. No one else will look at it. As a matter of fact, by the end of this session, this paper will be burned, and hopefully the issues you struggle with will be gone as well. You know, this is really something to do in private. We're not going to go through it together. So I remember this is something you really need to do in your spare time. And, you know, this prior section up here, E, just renounce all contact with anything occult or satanic. Pray the prayer for release from any curse from all sins and practice of your forefathers, even to the fourth generation. So after you fill that out, prayer release. You know, this stuff is really supposed to show you, okay, look at all these problems I have. Look how far away I am away from the glory of God, you know. And it's supposed to help you see, Lord, I mean, there's still a lot of work I need you to do in my life. I'm opening my heart to you. You fill it out. You pray that prayer release. And we would throw this paper in the fire and let it be burned up, you know, kind of as a symbol as we're leaving this stuff behind. So you need to fill this out in your own time. Because, I mean, it's really a private thing. It's not meant to be filled out with a group of people. Some of the stuff you might not want other people to know about just now, we're not going to drag it out of you. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might become the righteousness, hit with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might share his life. Jesus became poor without poverty that we might become rich with his riches. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance as children of God. Jesus became a curse that we might receive a blessing. So, repent of all rebellion and sin. Claim forgiveness for all sin. Forgive anyone who has ever harmed you or wronged you. Renounce all contact with anything occult or satanic. So this is a prayer renouncement. You don't have to pray this exact prayer, but pray along the lines of it. Mm-hmm. Prayer of renouncement.
Use this as a guideline, kind of.
Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I give up all my rebellion and independence, my pride and self-centeredness, my harboring of rejection and inferiority, and my bitterness and unforgiveness. I give up all my sin and submit myself to you. I confess all my sins before you and ask you for forgiveness and ask for your forgiveness. But release me now from the power of the enemy of my soul. By a decision of my will, I will forgive all who have harmed me or wronged me, just as I want you to forgive me. And particularly, I forgive, and that's right there where you forgive certain people. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, I believe that on the cross you paid the price for me to have a life of victory and freedom. I receive your gift of deliverance now. Through Christ Jesus, I now pull down every stronghold built up in my life by the devil. In particular, I pull down the strongholds of, and you name them strongholds. That's kind of stuff that you fill out. So mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pull these strongholds down and renounce the power of Satan in my life. By faith, I now receive my release, and I thank you, God, for it. So you can see that through Christ, by faith, you can literally release all this stuff on you. You have stuff you've been carrying mm-hmm. and harboring, and you might not even realize it, or you might have realized it, but this is an opportunity to really look it in the mirror. You know, be like, okay, I really do want to let this stuff go. Why have I held on to this stuff? You know, a lot of times you got to ask yourself, if you find yourself struggling with a certain sin or something, ask yourself, do I respect what I'm doing? Do I respect the person I'm choosing to be right now? If I was on the outside looking in and I saw myself doing this kind of sin, what would I think of that person? Mm-hmm. You know? And you need to tell yourself, I want to be somebody I respect. I want to be somebody that I truly like.
Yeah.
You know, and this people's secret sin, what they do in secret when no one's looking, you know, if you have any areas of that in your life, look at that person and do I really like that person? Do I really respect and admire what they hide in secret? And if you have stuff like that in your life, you know, I mean, if you do, just renounce it. You know, I want to be somebody that I truly trust and that I like and that I love. I want to be somebody I love and admire, you know. So, and that's why Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees do on the street corners. They, you know, they seek the glory of men, you know, you know, everybody can see them. But when you pray, go to your secret place and be with your Father. Because in that secret place, and who you are in secret is who you are. Mm-hmm. Who you are, you know. So he's saying, be who you're supposed to be in secret. Be who God created you to be, you know.